prize is his, and he runs, clutching it. He looks over his shoulder constantly. Just a little further. Suddenly, the rooftops spread before him. A single leap, and he was safe. Too late, he realizes his mistake. Too late comes his awareness of a dark presence inside him. There's a sharp spasm in his chest. Then, blackness. And as the bauble he so carefully clutched bounces away, there is time but for one more thought.
May Doreen be merciful with whoever finds it.
Out of the clutches of inestimable, big danger, and into the jaws of certain doom comes a hero smarter than Conan, furrier than Tarzan, and shorter than Napoleon. This could only be Cerberus the Aardvark. Using Henrok's gold, Cerberus bribes his way onto a merchant vessel on the Sophium River. A week later, he is in the Separan Empire's boundaries, posing as a trader in textiles. At Syria, the informal capital of the loosely knit and militant empire, the Earth Pig sees his chance for a much-needed vacation. He loses himself amid the bustling crowds, and with the last of his Borealan gold, sets about the serious business of drinking, eating, and gambling. The eye, by its nature, is attracted to bright objects. This effect is somewhat enhanced after the imbibing of nearly a pint of apricot brandy, as our friend Cerberus is about to learn through empirical demonstration.
Oh, what's this? Some kind of gem. Tareem! It shines like five suns. It's slippery, too. Doubtless lost by some idiot nobleman. Ah, well, nobility's loss is an Earth Pig's gain. Mayhap I can use it as a stake in Diamondback tonight.
But as Cerberus's thoughts turn to gambling, considering various ploys and wagers, he fails to see that the very act of picking up the gem is probably the biggest gamble he will take tonight.
I follow a short furry thing with gem. I kill and eat him when I get him. Then I give gem to you. I understand, master.
Meanwhile, in the astral plane next door, Death himself surveys the scene with interest.
Soon the gem will be mine. Once my crawler herds this prey towards me, it will be child's play to get the gem in my hands.
Back in Syria, the Earth Pig turns a corner, coming abruptly face to face with one of the countless dead ends in this southern city.
From now on, Cerberus will slake his thirst with ales and meads. These city wines may taste like fruit juice, but they wreak havoc with my Clovis's teeth and tankard.
His short blade glitters dully in the half-light as towards him rushes a great slimy mass of tentacles and flesh. Huge eyes glare at the Earth Pig as he narrowly evades the crawler's lunge.
Cerberus senses you wish me to run, devil spawn. But what if I choose to fight instead?
Though there is a merciless throbbing behind the Earth Pig's wine-blurred eyes, ingrained skills instantly dictate his actions.
A most valiant worm. If he refuses to run, the crawler will remove the gem and leave it for another to find.
I am no city-bred morsel for the taking. You face an Earth Pig-born demon.
Amazing. But it is impossible for him to defeat the crawler, no matter how
wounded am, monster. Your maw gapes to devour me, mayhap, instead.
By the five spheres.
You shall feed on this.
My crawler. A creature from the dawn of time. A creature of sorcery. Defeated by mere flesh and blood and iron. and still I do not possess the gem.
And to think that Cerberus came south to seek sanity. That beast was enormous. From what Cerberus knows of sorcerer's ways, its master must be of great power indeed.
My foe seems more cerebral than the average barbarian. But he is too headstrong, too intelligent to control. The gem must be brought willingly to me. I need a more malleable personality to bring the gem to me.
Meanwhile, Cerberus returns to where he left off wandering and thinking. He removes the glowing gem from an inner pocket and studies it briefly before hooking it into his neck chain.
The way my luck is going so far, all I'll be dealt in Diamondback is priests tonight.
I'll need someone nearby. A personality capable of wresting the gem from the barbarian, but possessing no subtlety. An easy victim of
Some hours later, Cerberus reflects that there are drawbacks to posing as a merchant, such as one has to associate with other merchants under the watchful gaze of the city guard. The merchants and traders in Syria are conservative gamblers and prefer sipping wine to gulping ale, not the Earth Pig's favorite crowd.
Nearly dawn. No merchant will be thinking of ale or Diamondback till sunset. Tareem! Nothing to do all day but fold cloth and work harms. Mayhap I should risk consorting with some of the Dorisian mercenaries.
Stand, I say! Stand aside! Make way for... Make way for Elrod the Albino. Why, hello there, short, gray, and fuzzy. You have a thing for crushed velvet. Speak when you're spoken to, son. You're making a bad first impression. And stand up. You'll never leave your mark on the world hiding behind bolts of cloth all day. Sooner or later, you're going to have to take off the bunny suit, kid. Then I'll say, then where will you be?
Tareem's tonsils with a windbag.
Oh, I get it. You're overcome by my presence, awed by the sight of a true king, by the reality of the ruler of Melvinbone, last lord of a dying race, a wanderer, that is. You getting all this down, boy, or am I going too fast for you? Where was I? Oh, yeah. Sorcerer and slayer of my kin, despoiler of my homeland.
Would that Cerberus was not passing for a merchant.
Pay attention, son. Ears that long must be good for something. I'm feared in battle. I'm an outcast from my race. My sword is black, rune carved, that is.
Cerberus would like you to remove some of your weight from his foot.
Mind your manners, son. I've got a tall, pointy hat. That status boy. You can argue with me, but you can't argue with status. Don't walk away when I'm talking to you, boy. It's bad manners. You're taking advantage of my good nature, son, but I can only be pushed so far. All right. You asked for it. Now you must face my sword. See ya, sucker. That's a joke, son, but no one's going to get it for at least 5,000 years.
Tareem, who would believe a sword could get rusty enough to turn black?
Meanwhile, still eavesdropping from his dark little corner of the universe...
Well, gems of power have I, an even dozen. A source of great power, yes, but consider the 13th gem, now so close at hand. With that gem in my possession, I could have a new golden age. Diseases, famine, whole populations wiped out in mere days. After untold centuries, the gem is on its way to me. The Chaos Gem at last. The barbarian must be made to cooperate once he draws near.
Even now, his new ally prepares to drive the barbarian to death's door, unaware that the idea is not his own.
You better stop, I say. You better start running, Junior, or me and Sierra Saka are going to turn you all into cold cuts. Ha! Yeah! Notice that lightning reflexes. My blade is a blur of black light. What's the matter with you, boy? Don't you even know a basic fighting stance? There ain't gonna be nothing left of you but... splinters. My, I just smashed my old seer sucker to smithereens. Guess I don't know my own strength. Him, well, you're right, boy. Why should we fight? Why, we're probably the best fighters in these Southlands. We'll team up. Oh, I know what you're gonna say. You're gonna say you're not good enough. Well, you're probably right, but that's okay, son. What you lack in skill, you make up for in shortness. Look at me, boy. How do you expect to improve when you don't pay attention? Tell you what, why don't you grunt if any of this is sinking in?
No loitering on the avenues, merchant. Move along and tend your wares, or we'll have to...
Aye, tending his wares is the best idea Cerberus has heard yet.
Hang on a chicken-plucking minute here. Who are you calling merchant, dung face? We're warriors, the mightiest warriors in the Southlands.
Guards, alien warriors here.
Oh, this is beats.
You can't let these tin-plated turkeys push you around, son.
There they are, over there.
Right here, get the word.
Ah, reinforcements. But these half-wits don't train. El Ron, the albino. We'll let them know they can't mess around with us. I'll handle the one on the left and leave the rest for you.
What?
Watch this, son. With but a single blow, El Ron defeats the... with only two or three punches, Elrod with barely a half dozen punches, Elrod... Oh, hell, where's a big rock I can hit him with? Hey, Cerberus, you got any big rocks over there? Sal?
The question is not exactly relevant to the Earth Pig, as he glares at Elrod from the firmly encapturing grasp of the city guard.
Not much of a scrapper, are you, boy?
Shall we take them to the Commandant or to the Magistrate?
Neither should have to deal with this motley pair. We'll let them rot in Southgate Prison.
Before long, Cerberus and Elrod are chained to the wall of a small stone cell.
Well, son, this is one doozy of a mess you got us into. But don't you worry none. I'm working on a foolproof escape plan. You're lucky they put us in together so as I can help you escape, too. Stop fidgeting, son. You're ruining my concentration. If you're planning on breaking... I say, if you're planning on breaking those chains, you can forget it. I already tested them, boy. They're too sturdy. Use your head, boy. All you're going to do is break a bone, injure an appendage, contuse your ulna, and likewise do grievous harm to the rest of your short, gray body. That's just terrific, son. You just broke the chain on one arm. Now you can pick your nose if you want to. Oh, come on now, boy. Just because you found a weak link in one chain doesn't mean you can possibly... You did it, son. I knew you had it in you. Now, just grab that iron bar over there and... No, no, don't try to pry under the door bolt. Use it to dig, son. Dig like a shovel. You can't dig through a wooden door, boy. Any moron knows that. And this is all wrong. We're only a few thousand meters from the ground, son. With a little elbow grease, you could be blinking in the sunlight by next Shrove Tuesday. Say, looks like you're onto something there, kid. Just get your back into it. Now we're in business, son. You set me loose, and we can make a run for it. I say, you can set me loose, and we'll make a run for it, right, boy? I say, right, boy?
Terrain be with you, Elrod.
I've got a better idea, son. You go for help, and I'll wait here for you. Bring lots of armor and swords, and we'll take over the city. Right, son? Nice boy, but he's got the attention span of an overripe grapefruit.
Sometime later, in a remarkably convenient ventilation shaft leading out of Southgate Prison,
if Elrod is to be killed, methinks they'll first have to beat his tongue to death with a stick. Terrain. Cerberus must have crawled miles. Ah, Clovis's orbs, sunlight. A welcome sight for even an Earth Pig born. Normally, Cerberus is not one to believe in bad omens, but all my trouble began when I found this shining abomination.
At this, the aardvark plucks the strange, slippery gem from his neck chain and regards it suspiciously.
So, my first two orders of business are to divest myself of this troublemaking talisman This well should do nicely. I need to find a blacksmith to remove these shackles.
And in the very darkest, gloomiest pocket of the universe sits a very disgruntled death.
Some days. Some days it just doesn't pay to get out of bed.
Cerebus, the Aardvark, is adapted with permission from the comic books of the same name. Written and drawn by Dave Sim. Published and copyrighted by Aardvark Vanaheim Press. Radio adaptation was written by Kara Dahlke. Production and engineering by Chris Dronan. Musical selection by Matthew Tepper. Players for this episode were Bob Hunter, Curtis Hoffman, Denny Lee, Lee Pelton, and Kara Dahlke. Tune in again in the not-too-distant future for the next episode of Cerebus, The Terror of Bran Mac Muffin.